Midwest Guys presents...
Hello and welcome back to Four Midwest Guys Presents What If? And tonight with me on this What If show is, I have with me Mr. Brian Inkebauer.
Yeah, what's up?
What's going up, B? And the Dirty Jay-Z is back with us as well.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Indeed. Hello, boys. Well, tonight on our What If show, we're going to talk about what if, or what would it take to make the WWE better? So this is going to be quite an extensive show, I'm sure. So
this will be longer than our Force Awakens show.
No, nothing will be longer.
We can only do so much to make it better.
And nothing will ever be as long as the Force Awakens show.
So if we were the WWE creative team, what would it look like? What would we bring to the table? What kind of storylines or what would we allow?
Indeed. All right, John, you know what? Go ahead. What's your first idea?
All right. I'm going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to first take a look at the dreaded Authority. Now, we have done plenty of storylines in the past before where it's been McMahon versus McMahon, and it's never been like, you know, the family against, you know, everybody. We've had different factions of the McMahons facing the others. Wouldn't it be interesting if we actually had a Triple H authority versus a Stephanie authority?
A little divorce action going on in the perfect world?
Yeah, a little bit of division where we don't have just one heel the entire time.
You could almost, maybe as a precursor to that, have a Triple H versus Vince McMahon, maybe?
Even then.
That would set off maybe the... division between the two.
Oh, yeah, because you make Stephanie pick a side.
Yeah. Mad at him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Triple H kind of siding with the the working class wrestlers, because we all know that there's a fan base out there that loves the "they took her germs" storylines. So,
or better yet, you have the other McMahon, which we haven't seen in years.
Shane O'Mac.
Kind of be the.
Instigator?
The Dark Lord behind it all, so to speak. He ends up back in Triple H and talking just, Triple H. And
that's as long as we see him do that shuffle on the main stage at least once.
Here comes the money. Here comes the money.
Kendo stick in hand.
But yeah, that would be interesting. I kind of like that idea. You got that, you know, Shane O'Mac is the... wants back into the family business and uses Triple H to... start a family war.
I mean, think about it. I mean, we've seen in kind of the Divas division where you have, like, you know, you have Team Badge, you have the Bellas, and you have the others. I don't even know if we can call them PBC anymore, but, you know, they've done that where they've divided the, you know, there's a three-way division. So, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of create a little rivalry, and then you can have different factions.
Yeah, I don't know if it will work, though, because I think it would work with the Triple H and the Vince McMahon, or the Triple H and the Stephanie. I think that would work. I don't think they're bringing Shane O'Mac back, though, because I believe they've even taken him out of every video and off the website completely.
They have, really? Unfortunately. Yeah. He's actually venturing off on his own. I think there really is a little bit of bad blood there. I could be wrong. Hopefully not.
Wow.
But I have heard that as well. But it would be nice to see him back. And kind of use that a little bit of real life, maybe, in the storyline. So,
of all of our wrestling fans out there that are listening to this, please let us know. We miss our Shane O'Mac and want to know if he's doing okay.
Yeah, let us know out there. Let us know if we're right or wrong or indifferent. I don't know. Mr. Eckenbauer, what do you think? What's a good idea to fix the WWE?
I think regardless if your people are hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You still need, because the majority of them still have the mic skills to make some of the stuff entertaining, you know, regardless of what we're doing, whether it's some kind of, you know, practical joke with somebody or just being the crime boss, if you will, type figure. Like back in the day when you used to watch WCW and Sting used to run the NWO Wolfpack.
Yeah.
Maybe Sting starts getting people together in a faction to go against the Authority, and he's
more
of a... He's more of a leader role, not so much as an action role, until he gets better. Right. And then that could be the match. It'd be Sting versus Triple H again or something like that.
That could be like
yeah. Something like that. But you get the people who are injured, you still have them getting a paycheck. So you might as well use them.
Yeah.
So, you know, bring Seth Rollins out. Let Seth Rollins be a guest announcer.
Or commentator.
Or, you know, yeah commentator or whatever, you know, for a couple nights. Let, you know, whoever. Just, I'm tired of seeing, just because they get hurt doesn't mean we can't see them on TV anymore.
Right, because they are a character that could be used to
fool. And that was one thing I didn't notice watching Raw last week when they did the Slammies and they announced Seth Rollins as the superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out there, even on his crutches.
Yeah.
Even his presence alone, you just watch, you can just hear the entire crowd go nuts.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Whether it was good or bad, you could hear the entire crowd go nuts. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, 2016, I'm going to regroup, rebuild, and redesign, you know, Seth Rollins.
You know,
I just think you need him back. To whatever character you want, even if you want him to start his own faction, because you know he's like, maybe show a glimpse of him going up to Triple H and Triple H kind of blowing him off because now they have the League of Nations,
right?
And so you know he kind of goes and he's like, well,
screw you,
then I'm going to get my own group, and he gets his own group together, and he's the leader of that group.
And there we have the Triple H and Stephanie break apart there.
Yeah. So.
There you go. And, you know, that kind of brings up another point, though. They could also use them not just as commentators, but the very underused role, I think, is the manager of the group or the leader of factions, as you're saying.
Yeah.
Because we don't, other than Zeb Coulter, which is horrible, they don't really have a whole lot of managers. Paul Heyman is probably the best manager I've ever seen on wrestling TV, I mean, in my opinion. But he does all the talking for
well, nothing to be, we can't take anything away from Paul Bearer there.
Well, no. Yeah, Paul Bearer too, but I mean, maybe, in modern times that we don't have it.
No, maybe Seth Rollins starts the Raw group.
Ah.
The Raw group.
The Raw group.
So. The Rollins All-Star Wrestler group.
Whoa, there we go.
So instead of the NWO, you have the RAW.
Sign this man up, get him a writing contract for the WWE. He just blew the rest of the writers out of the water.
So we're going to do the Raw versus SmackDown things again.
Oh, no, we won't do the same kind of shit, like that kind of thing again, where you have like only certain wrestlers doing wrestling things, but you have him making his own NWO,
mm-hmm.
and the shirt looks like the NWO logo, except it's RAW, so it still says Raw.
Or RWO.
Yeah, the Rollins World Order.
And then McMahon would have to bring back the NWO and create a new NWO to fight the Raw. Beginning to like
or the CWO, the current World Order.
You know, it's funny. I know, Willenbrink, I know you probably next year, but actually on the NWO thing, if I can say real quick, Cena needs a heel turn the way Hogan did to the NWO.
Mm.
That would, I mean, think about that. I mean, Cena would be your Hogan to the NWO.
Yeah, you've got to build that up and you have to do that right. That has to be a year-long storyline, a year-long process.
Well, they'll keep him around for a year.
You know,
well,
the other
in my opinion,
is,
though. Because that's a Darth Vader moment.
The other thing is, putting Cena in charge of the NWO, he wouldn't have to turn a true heel. He could still technically be against the authority,
but he's a rebel.
But he'd be like a rebel, a leader of the rebel group, kind of.
Right. Well, maybe.
And then you wait and do your year long thing, and then 1 year after they just started, then he turns to the authority against the faction that he created.
Tries to kill what he created.
Yeah.
The people's five knuckle shuffle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like I said though, yeah, you definitely want to use that. That needs to be if you do it, it's the one ace that the WWE has up their sleeve, mm-hmm. is the Cena turn. So you want to take care of it, you want to build it, and you want to do it right. It's not something you want to do right away. It's not something you want to do for one pay-per-view, obviously. It's something that has to happen slowly, carefully, and methodically. And as far as somebody else that I think that could do that, it's Heyman. Paul Heyman is the perfect emperor of the WWE world. He's slick, he's undertone, he's all of that.
Former ECW.
He's the guy that maybe not, you know, since we can't have Shane, he would probably be the guy you would want to use in a takeover scenario, maybe as a takeover line even for the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because he's so sinister and so slimy, but they could turn him, just with his mic skills alone, they could turn him into the guy who plots against the WWE to destroy the WWE and to take it over and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and he's such a fan favorite, too, that everyone would love it.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I'm such a Star Wars nut that, you know, to me, I always put it in Star Wars terms. He's Papa Appleteen, you know. He's definitely the Sith Lord of the group, in my opinion, that could easily be used in the same way. So, I don't know.
Who would be the Jar Jar of the WWE?
New Day. Destroy New Day immediately. Day one, if I'm a WWE writer, kill the New Day.
Jar rocks, Misa thinks. Jar rocks, Misa thinks.
Misa, terrible. Misa,
Misa fly from the top rope.
Misa, I think I'm a unicorn with rainbow shooting out my butt. No, I don't like it. Anyway. Now that I've gotten that out of my system.
You know, one of the things I was looking at online, to go back to the turning heel, for the longest time, the writers and Triple H wanted, now the name's going to escape me. Who's the champion right now?
It's
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns, yeah.
So they wanted Roman Reigns to turn heel.
Yeah.
For the longest time. And now that he's the champion, the fans are actually behind him almost, you know, somewhat. You can hear they're more behind him now than they used to be.
Yeah.
So he's kind of he's still that face, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they brought it up and said the only person backstage that didn't want him to turn heel, was Vince McMahon.
Also, Vince kept it from happening.
Vince had kept it from happening so many times, they said.
Mm.
So I find that odd that Vince still has that much
pull
that he can go against everybody, his entire writing team, Triple H, and everybody, to say, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do it my way.
He's done that before. You know, I mean, we see with a lot of the storylines that's what he does.
Right, but is that the reason why we're in the situation we're at? Is because we keep yelling at the creative team, but maybe it's not the creative team's fault. Maybe it's actually Vince McMahon's fault that we're not getting these developed stories.
It could be.
It's possible because, you know, if there's one man who may have become his character, it's Vince McMahon in real life. He embodies that, you know, I don't know, egotistical maniac almost too well now. So
yeah.
I don't know if that carries over into the real world or not.
Well, even when he came on that episode of Raw, did you see that episode?
Yeah, I did.
So when he came out on that episode of Raw and he told R-Truth and Bo, what is his name?
Bo Dallas to get out of the ring. Oh, God, that was great.
Get out of my ring! Get out of my ring! Yeah, and it was like, oh, okay, it's your ring. Okay, and then Stephanie tried to do it again on, it was either Raw or SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
She tried to say, get out of my ring.
To Roman Reigns, though. I mean, to be fair, it's to Roman Reigns, but frankly, I think an audience member can get in the ring and tell Bo Dallas and Archer to get out of the ring.
Exactly. But it was just funny because it was like listening to Vince McMahon talk.
Yeah.
You can barely understand him the way, you're like, you are fire! Like, what? What did you say?
Yeah. Well, he is 70 years old, so.
Yeah, but he's still, it's funny to watch him tell all the wrestlers, this is how you need to portray yourself, and this is how you need to act out here, and read your script and everything else. Mm-hmm. But then you watch him come out, and it is 100% Attitude Era.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he hasn't changed.
100%. So he hasn't changed, but he wants everybody else to act PC and everything else. And it's like, what?
Or to be fair, or, you know, keep them in a lot of racial stereotypes as well.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Like, as soon as they had R-Truth come out to do the Steve Harvey thing, I was like, well, that was an easy call.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I think, you know, it could be the old man needs, it's time for him to go out to pasture. Maybe they should give him what he wants and give him one show to work with and say, okay, you're in charge of this show. But what we're going to write everything else, you know, give them a network show or something. I don't know.
Again, there we go. We have even more of a McMahon division in the Authority, too. I think everything is pointing to that. We need a division of the Authority.
Yeah, agreed. And speaking of network shows, one of my ideas is to, since they have the network, bring back, and I've said this in other podcasts, bring back the Attitude Era. Have an Attitude Era show on the network. You can do whatever you want, and you can be almost as risque as you want with very little oversight. If I don't think there's any censorship going on the network. I could be wrong. But, I mean, you can get away with whatever you want.
Right, but I agree with that. I really like that idea about having the Attitude Era version of the show.
Mm-hmm.
My only concern is, how do you tie the two together for the people that don't watch the network? One.
Mm-hmm.
Two, how do you as a wrestler change character to the point where if I'm on the Attitude Show and I can drop the F-bomb all I want and I can cuss all I want and everything else, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden have to switch to the other show, it's going to leak.
Well, sure, and I think you can even tease it a little bit. I'm not so much
for
F-bombs, but you can start to do something risque and stop yourself and go, you know, and smile about it.
Have the Dudleys at the tables, ladders, and chair mats actually light the table on fire.
Yeah, I mean, the pay-per-views are all on network now. So.
I mean, I can see doing the hardcore stuff, because that's stuff that's not going to happen on the regular network if, you know, because you can't do it on a regular network, but you could do that kind of stuff. I'm talking, when I think Attitude Era, I don't think just hardcore.
Right, I don't either.
I think the whole attitude, like, you know, middle finger in the face, Stone Cold, and you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But my think the problem I have would be, just like we do, if we're joking around and we say "F you, man," "Oh, F you," blah blah blah.
Yeah.
When we're out in public or anywhere else, we're gonna talk the same way we talk when we're always hanging around.
Yeah, I agree. You're gonna have to put the I think it still exists. It was like a 12-second delay. You're going to have somebody ready for the button in case somebody slips. but as far as, and I think you paint it through rose-colored glasses what happened on the Attitude Show, on the network show, where they have to be.
Yes, I can see that. Yeah. I can see you doing that, I guess.
Yeah.
They did that, yeah.
But I'm really, that would be my only concern would be how to keep it.
Sure. Keep the two balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the other thing you could do is, you could actually start on your Attitude Era show, and you have certain wrestlers that are mainstays on the Attitude Era show, and occasionally
cross over,
and you see them going through tables and chairs in the back, or you know, so you can see them fighting or whatever.
Yeah,
but it's not that hardcore, like as hardcore as you see on the Attitude Network.
Right, it would be a little bit,
so you don't have to worry about storyline so much, people missing out. But then the people that see him are like, did you guys just see that wrestler just throw the other guy off the top of that stage through the table?
Yeah.
And they're like, fans, if you want to see more of that,
tune in
to,
you know, $9.99, you can see blah, blah, blah.
WWE 999. Yeah,
exactly. So, I think, yeah, it would just be awesome to have that back, that element back. And I think we were talking before the show started, you're hearing rumors of Eric Bischoff?
Yeah, it was an interview that Bischoff did with I think it was a Legends type atmosphere, you know how they do the interview with, back in the day, you know, we did this and this and this, and it was just a candid interview, and it was the main guy that does Raw that sits in the center.
Yeah.
Is that Cole?
Yeah.
So he was interviewing Bischoff.
Oh, really?
Okay. And Bischoff was sitting in a chair. It looked like a living room right? And Bischoff is wearing regular clothes. And they were talking back and forth about, you know, stuff that had happened. And Bischoff was talking about how much of a mainstay that the NWO is and how it's still selling off the WWE racks. And he thinks it's awesome that the WWE has put NWO on their website, mm-hmm. as far as you can see back matches and stuff like that. And he said, you know, would you want to come back? And the interview, he was like, you know, who says I'm not? You know, I could be working on something. And hinted at the fact that he might be working on something currently, whether it's, you know, new storylines for the WWE coming up, or if it's going to be something where...
A new show
for the WWE.
It's a new show!
Yeah, I don't see it so much being something going against WWE. I don't think anything could beat the Monday Night Wars between Raw and Nitro.
Yeah, WCW.
I don't think you could ever get to that, because TNA's tried it. Mm-hmm. Impact Wrestling, you know, they all tried it. But they've tried, but they can't get to that. They've even taken the old talent, like Kurt Angle and Jeff Jarrett and all those, trying to bring them, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah, well, because to be fair, I mean, that's basically what they did, is it kind of became like the Raw retirement home after a while.
Well, yeah, I mean, I understand, but even still, they didn't have, that pool wasn't there to actually battle WWE.
No, they bit off way too much more than they could chew too early on. That's why that failed. They should have built up first.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say this, though. I mean, their women's division in TNA is, well, before the Revolution came around, was actually a lot more interesting.
Well, they're also...
I'll get to that later.
They're also much more scantily clad, dressed there. But, yeah. Plus, they have... What do they call it, John? I can't remember now. It's some acronym. Instead of, like, WWE has divas, they have...
Knockouts.
Knockouts, that's
yeah.
It. So.
Well, and also, I mean, the thing that actually made their division interesting, which gets into my point, is for the female roster, mm-hmm. have someone outside of their weight class, because that's the first thing that made it interesting in TNA, was the fact that they got this lady wrestler from Japan who went by the name of Awesome Kong, who mm-hmm. was like 270 pounds and just like laid waste to everyone on there, and that actually made it interesting. They're like, who the hell's gonna stop her? And it actually, you know, there were count outs, there were double disqualifications. I mean, it made their mm-hmm. roster interesting, because they actually allowed their female competitors to be more competitive, which I was all for the Divas Revolution. I was actually happy that they brought actual wrestlers around, because that's actually what I wanted to see. It was something more competitive, something that, you know, seemed imposing and, you know, more threatening, because, you know, hell, we have Rusev going up against Neville, so why not do that for the female division? You know, have, like, Beth Phoenix doing her military presses again. I mean, it's something that needs to have more of a differential element to it. Because they've actually passed a rule that says there's certain moves women can't do that the men do, because it makes them seem less feminine.
Didn't know that. That's handicapping your division.
The kick to the groin.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I'd like to see with the ladies' division, and maybe I'm kind of going out on a limb with this one, I'd like to see either a women's tag division developed, because you have such a large diva roster and so little of it is used, other than maybe one storyline at a time. It's either create either a tag team championship belts, women's tag division, or possibly going even further, maybe a mixed tag team belt. So you would have one guy, one girl team up, and then they would win the championship and they would fight each other. That way you could bring wrestlers in and out, some of the guy wrestlers in and out that aren't being used in main storylines, and, you know, develop storylines with the girls and stuff like that. Kind of mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept. I would actually take it one step farther, and maybe you just mirror the men's titles,
mm-hmm.
go pretty much all the way down the board, mirror the men's titles,
yeah,
and then you have one pay per view a year
where the women
and you call it Battle of the Sexes, and the U.S. men's and the U.S. women's
fight each other.
No, you have the championships, whoever holding the belt, okay, for the men's and the women's, they team up against the number one contenders from the men's and women's for that title.
Oh, okay.
So you have it's a men's versus, and then if somebody gets pinned, both the male and the female belt go to the other people.
To the contender's side. Interesting. That's an interesting twist. That would keep things kind of fresh.
Yeah, because that way you're not wrestling the entire year. Anybody can wrestle anybody, but that one wrestling pay-per-view a year,
yeah,
you can see how well it would work.
The title could change hands on the women's side.
Yes, because if Becky pins Paige and Paige happens to have the title,
yeah, then whoever's got the,
then Roman Reigns could lose the title to whoever Becky Lynch's partner was, if, you know what I mean?
And they'd make fun of that guy. They'll be like, women, won for you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be an interesting. I like that twist. That's a very interesting twist on things.
John, what do you think? Would that work?
It could be interesting. We'll have to could see where it goes.
Yeah, but like Willenbrink was talking about, we just had... If you want to make the Diva Revolution relevant, you have to have more than one belt that they're going after.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Because you can't just have one belt that all, 12 girls are going after.
Get rid of the damn butterfly. That's another thing. Get rid of the goddamn butterfly.
Well, what if the one belt had a butterfly and the other belt had a puppy dog and the other belt had a butterfly?
That's exactly what it seems like.
Had a unicorn and
that's the New Day belt. Anyway,
I agree. Get rid of the butterfly. I don't think that maybe it has different colored jewels on it to make it look more feminine.
Yeah.
Well, at one point, it was the women's championship, and it actually looked like an actual belt, and I hate to say it, the bellows came around and turned it into a freaking butterfly.
Well, to be honest, I don't mind it if you just cut a couple pieces of it off, because I think that the pink on it, it works,
yeah.
But I just don't think that
the whole thing being an actual butterfly.
Yes, I don't think that part works.
Because let's face it, a butterfly, what's a butterfly? But if you touch it, it's dead. You know, it's the most fragile thing in the universe.
Maybe have the praying mantis belt because it eats the head of its whoever it meets with.
I got it. The women's tag team belt could be crabs.
Hell, have a mother bear belt. That would be the equivalent of the championship.
There you go.
The heavyweight class.
There you go. And speaking of classes, I say bring back the cruiserweight belt. Bring back the high flyers.
Yeah.
I miss that. I really do.
There's a lot of belts that we miss. I mean, the cruiserweight's one. The hardcore's another one.
Yeah.
Bring them back. Let us have more titles to watch change hands. And you're not... Because the other titles aren't really changing hands all that much.
No, they don't. They stay with the one person. They stay with them for like a year. It's ridiculous. Uh-huh. You know what's going to happen. I prefer to keep it I don't care if they're the 25th time champion of the world. It doesn't bother me. It's all about... It's entertainment. So it's about, keeping it fresh.
Yeah. The other thing, the Money in the Bank needs to be able to be stolen.
Yes. You need to be able
If you're going to match with the Money in the Bank, you have Money in the Bank and you have a match, it can be put up just like a belt.
Exactly.
Because let's face it, how exciting was Sheamus as the Money in the Bank champion? How exciting was that for, however long it was?
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't that... It was okay. It wasn't like Rollins. Rollins carried it.
Right.
Sheamus didn't, and I like to see that put up. I think if you are, you have to come up with some sort of scenario, because you wouldn't want to do it all the time, but for control of the show or something, for general managership, whatever, authority ship.
I was thinking the same thing, how could you do that?
You'd have to create like a gauntlet, like the guy would have to run the gauntlet, and then he would face Triple H. So he'd have to do X, Y, and Z, and then he'd have, in order to qualify, and then he'd have to face Triple H. For the control. So, I mean, that's how I see it. But
kind of like how Kane was.
Yeah,
I didn't think that worked very well.
No, I would prefer something like you've got to have. I don't know. I haven't really thought the scenario through, but you would have to have you'd have to have the World Championship, and you'd have to do something else. And if you get those two together, then those two things, then you qualify to go after.
So it's like a puzzle?
Kind of.
Like you put these puzzle pieces together, and it transforms into power of a unicorn. Well,
if you find these two pieces of the Triforce.
I'm just saying, kind of. It's kind of like you don't
like on Smash Brothers Melee, where you can collect all the different things and then you get to use your super weapon.
Well, something like that, because instead of you don't want it just to be somebody shows up and challenges him. That's too easy. It's got to be something he has to work for. There has to be some sort of.
Oh, I got you. So he puts out the test,
right?
And he says, you know what? If you're unhappy,
right.
Here's what you have to do.
And anybody can do it. And they start, and a lot of people fail until they find the one person, and then you watch them climb.
So basically, it's like a triple crown.
Kind of, yes. It's like a triple crown kind of ascension to the... Call it the ascension.
That would be kind of...
I don't think any ascension thing's going on right now.
Yeah, I think it would actually be kind of cool to have, like, a triple crown. And you have the ones that, like, your first one is John Cena, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets through the first two, but can't get through the last one.
Right.
And then your next one is Seth Rollins or something, and he gets through the first two, but can't get through the last one.
Yeah.
And then you have Roman Reigns that comes through, and he gets through the first one, but can't get to the second one. You know.
Right.
You mix it up, and then somebody at like WrestleMania, or nothing has to be WrestleMania, but he gets that third one to have the match at WrestleMania versus Triple H or something.
Right, and there's so many possibilities. You can do the David versus Goliath thing. You can take the littlest wrestler you have. What's his name from the Luchadors right now? The little high flyer.
Kalisto. Rey Mysterio Jr.?
Yeah, all of a sudden. Rey Mysterio Jr. Part 2. Have that guy all of a sudden just luckily make his way all the way to the
top. I got it.
You know?
I got it. So what you do is you start your Triple Crown at Survivor Series.
Yep.
You win the Survivor Series.
Okay, got it.
And then you win the Royal Rumble.
There you go.
And then you win at WrestleMania. Then we'll have our match.
Then you have the authority. There it is. There it is, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, so you have your Triple Crown.
Yep.
That you have to win these certain matches.
And then you can fight for the authority.
Yep.
Yeah. I say bring it on, because
that'd be interesting.
It could be fun. It could be really fun, and it keeps you watching. Yeah, the whole thing is entertainment, and it keeps things flowing and mixed up.
Well, it would definitely keep the storyline going for a fairly long time. You know what I mean?
Because
as it is right now, the storylines we have are just thrown out at a whim. Like all of a sudden, the two people that were fighting over the one girl. To have that threesome, Rusev, Dolph Ziggler, and whoever the other girl was.
Yeah, Lana, yeah.
No, it wasn't even Lana, it was the other one.
I forget her name.
Summer Rae?
Yeah. All of a sudden, we're not going to fight over her anymore. And now it's Lana we're going to fight over. What happened? we're just not doing that one now.
Yeah.
And we're Mex-America! The Mex-Americans and all
that storyline went lower.
And all of a sudden, no, we're not doing that anymore. And you know, it's just like every time you think that they're going to start doing it and stick to it, it's just gone. And within like three or four episodes, you're like, okay,
precisely. Yeah, it just goes nowhere. So the idea is to keep it mixed up, to keep it changing, to keep things interesting when you watch. And we're just throwing out these are just ideas that the three of us are throwing out there for you guys because. We feel like the WWE is going nowhere.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, they've hit like a stagnant part of their storylines where we're seeing the same old stuff over and over again.
Yeah, and that part of that has to do with the fact of, you know, all the wrestlers, they hit that injury bug now that a lot of the wrestlers are hurt. But I think a lot of it also falls back on the writing.
Yeah.
That there still isn't, even with the people that who are hurt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think they were all pretty much involved almost with the same storyline.
Well, I think we're all in agreement here, and the reason why we're doing this show is there needs to be, not that I don't enjoy the wrestling, but right now there needs to be a little bit more story than there is wrestling, I mean, going on.
You know? Oh, absolutely. Well, that's what keeps us watching it. I mean...
I would say we used to joke and call this the male soap opera.
Right, exactly.
Oh, it is. It always is.
And I don't know, you know, and that's why we're doing this show. This is why we're doing the What If show. It's like, come on, you know. Take a few, I don't care if you take any, just take one idea and run with it. I'm fine with that.
This is what we want to see on our Days of Our Lives.
These are the rings of your lives.
The belts of our
lives.
The young and the beltless. And speaking of, one thing, it was just really quick to throw out there.
Sure.
Less recaps. I mean, you have Raw for 3 hours on USA and 2 hours on SmackDown. That's 5 hours of programming. If you were watching it, you literally have maybe an hour of TV show and about 2 hours of recaps.
Yeah, I agree. That's a lot quicker recaps. You don't need to do two recaps in the same night. I've seen them do that where something will happen at the beginning of the show and they recap in the middle and at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, really?
Well, the one thing I do like, but you can tell they do it a lot now, is a lot of their recaps is when the wrestlers don't botch a move.
Yeah.
And it looks really good on film, and they're like, yeah, let's use that as a recap. Mm-hmm. They're like, and you see here, and they even do it like during the same match. They'll recap what just happened 5 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or what really is irritating is now that they do the commercial during the match.
Yes, I hate
that. Like, if you can throw a commercial in the middle of a match, why am I watching? Because it's not that entertaining.
Well, I mean, they've done that since the 90s. Like, I actually had, like, an old tape somewhere that had a match, and I was like, oh, hey, there's a commercial right there in the middle of the match.
Yeah, and they used to do that to keep their viewership because you had the Monday Night Wars going on, mm-hmm. but there's no longer any competition, so there's really no need for it. I'd rather see two quick matches, one at the, right before the commercial break and one going in, and let us know that this one's coming up, of course. But still, you know, I'd rather have that.
But my thought process is if you as a company can put a commercial break inside of your product, then you don't feel your product is good enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, and to top it off too, like where they put what they do with their commercial breaks, it's the same thing every time. I mean, we know that by the time the commercial break's over, we're going to come back in and whoever we are rooting for is going to be on the losing end.
Yeah, and then they're going to recap it for us.
Right, they're going to show us, hey, this is what you missed. It's like, oh, were you happy before the commercials? Oh, this is what happened. This is what you missed.
Yeah, I think you're better off having, like, a Raw recap show on the network.
And not just SmackDown.
Yeah, and not just SmackDown, you know, and just use that, you know, and let people watch that. Put it online. Maybe wait a couple days for people that want to watch it on DVR, but, you know, something. Mm-hmm. Rather than this constant, I agree with you, John, 100%. It's way too many damn recaps.
Yeah, like sometimes we put the record button on before we put our daughter to bed, and we put her to bed, and we get all of the stuff in the house done. It's like 9:30, and so we're obviously we're halfway through the show. We're halfway behind, and we cut out all the filler stuff, all the recaps, all the commercials, and we're literally live before the show ends.
Yeah, that's sad, really. I mean, when you think about that, I mean, that's very sad. You know, so, all right. Anybody else got any other ideas as to how we can improve the WWE?
A couple more.
Okay, go ahead.
Our tag team roster. Yeah. Now, what is it? We've had our New Day champions for how long now?
Too long.
Too long?
2 seconds too long.
Yeah, I mean, we've exhausted the gender bender storyline.
Yeah.
Which is what I've always called it, because every time they come out, it always reminds me of Bender and his tutu trying to cut those promos where they're like, oh, we're going to make the fan base hate you. And it's this, well, it's not so much that they're bad wrestlers, it's the fact that it's the same crap. I mean, you have Big E's your strong guy, Kofi's your high flyer. I mean, you've got two good wrestlers, but because they have Xavier Woods always doing the same thing and interfering and costing people the match, it's getting boring. I mean, it's the same thing we've seen over and over again, and I hate to say it, we have other tag teams out there. Give them a third person. Give them somebody to rip the trombone out and run up the platform with it.
Yeah, that storyline would work so much better if they had those two be the normal wrestlers, Big E and Kofi, and then have Xavier Woods be the idiot of the group.
Well, they do that.
Well, actually, I was thinking that they needed to just go completely normal.
Yeah, like, that's like, what I mean. They're like, normal and Woods.
Well, no, even Woods.
Okay.
Even Woods. Have all three of them be just normal. They can be the New Day, right? Mm-hmm. But here's what happens is they're doing their little spiel or whatever, and they go out, and, like, what's the guy's name? Adam Rose?
Yeah.
So he's really screwy. And he could come up to him and say, hey, guys, you want to come party with me? Or whatever he says, right? And they go, oh, we're not. You didn't think we... Oh, no. And, like, you know, like, and they get that, like, but we're not kind of thing. And then all of a sudden they go that completely 180 turn where they are 100% straight and they are badasses in the ring. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, like when Jerry Lawler interviewed Goldust and I had to ask him if he was gay in the ring.
Yeah. And they could be 100%, you know, they could be 100% badass. And, like, you know, Willenbring might actually like him at that point.
Might.
But you know what I mean? Like, cause I do think that group dynamic works well together, those three, and they play up. They play off each other really well, and their mic skills are really good.
What's the other thing too is they're the only, like, if you think about it, of all the tag teams, they're really the only heels, which you can make them heels, but have some other heels out there. Have some other, you know, I mean, you got the freaking League of Nations out there. Have like two of them go off on a faction, or like we got the Wyatts out there. Have Braun Strowman and Eric Rowan, because Eric Rowan's, of course, going to be the guy that gets beat all the time, so...
Well, they've been doing that on SmackDown, and they've had several matches where it's two members of the Wyatts or somebody, or it's two members...
Well, but it's never two members, because you have all four of them come out to the ring, and that's actually going to get to my next point here about the Wyatts, but I'll save that for the end.
Okay, and then, but I was going to say, with the League of Nations, I do know that they just did the two, because they did Rusev and... who's the Mexican guy?
Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, Alberto Del Rio. Those two fought, and because Tater Tots was in a later match later against Dean Ambrose, they didn't have anybody to run out because King Barrett right now is hurt.
Yeah.
And he's on a limited role. Like, so he'll go out to participate to be like the extra member, but you'll see he won't get in the ring and he won't hit anybody and nobody will hit him.
Yeah, which, I feel bad for the guy. I mean, that's actually what happens with our injured reserve list.
Yeah. But it was funny, because, like, it was on, was that, was a SmackDown, wasn't it? Where it was Dean Ambrose versus Tater Tots in a cage match?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, and then I was like, oh my god, they're actually doing something decent on a SmackDown.
Yeah.
And those two fought. That match was amazing.
That was great. It was exciting.
And I was really excited when Roman Reigns threw that chair in the ring and it actually stood up by itself. He threw it in, collapsed.
Yeah.
And he threw it all the way over the top of the cage. It landed in the ring and it bounced and set itself up.
Really?
No one could do it again if they tried.
Yeah, there was no way anybody could do it again if they tried. But that was that match was just amazing.
Maybe I should start recording SmackDown again.
but that's the kind of stuff that needs to happen.
Well, yeah, random things.
It's like cage match. Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Or you know, like it's an 8-on-8 tag, but it's a hardcore. Or mm-hmm. you know, anything you want to do to kind of boost getting people involved.
I agree with you.
You know, maybe you have one Raw where you confuse the hell out of people and you have two rings.
Oh, just
and you have multiple matches going on at the same time and it's like elimination matches. And once each ring is down to one person,
yeah.
then those two rings fight each other.
Like a three ring like they used to do at what was that pay per view that WCW used to have?
I know what you're talking about.
Something war.
But yeah. Where you have the multiple rings and you won your ring, and then you go fight in the other ring.
Yeah. That'd be a neat way to determine a number one contender or something, like after a pay-per-view. That would be cool. So, something you do once a year or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I agree. All right, John, let's get down to the Wyatts here.
Okay. I think we all have to come to the conclusion we're not going to get rid of the Wyatts. As much as their storylines go nowhere, their rivalries go nowhere, they're not going away. People aren't going to like turn off their cell phones anytime soon. so here's the thing, and actually going off the thing with the League of Nations, here's a thought for a storyline. What if we have the Wyatts versus the League of Nations over control of WWE. I mean, if you want to make them a threat, let's make them a threat. Let's actually make them interesting, because I honestly think a Wyatt's versus League of Nations would be one of the coolest matches ever. Because, I mean, let's face it, on their own, they're not much. Because we've had Bray Wyatt on his own. He's boring. He loses. Eric Rowan, his mic skills are terrible, and sad to say, he's just not interesting, and he's always the one that gets beat up the most. Luke Harper is probably the only one that would actually have his own standalone from the Wyatts. And even Braun Strowman, I mean, they call him the black sheep of the family, but they've never given him a chance to stand out on his own. And I think that's what actually would make the Wyatts interesting, is you give them their own individual storylines. You know, have Braun Strowman go on like a Kane psychopathic streak where he's just like randomly attacking people in the back, you know, or, you know, have Luke Harper find fault in Bray's teachings and, you know, going against the family or whatever. I mean, just there's so much that could be done with them that they haven't done. They've just made them the same boring, roided up deliverance family.
Can I add some to that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think one thing that they could definitely do is add to that group. If you really want them to be this demonic group,
apocalyptic,
then you need to add to them. Make them, you know what's really funny is that those people who think those survivalists who think the end of the world is coming, right? You know what I mean?
The preppers,
right? Mm-hmm. Which, don't get me wrong, I have nothing against preppers, and if you want to stay prepared, be prepared, whatever you want to do. But maybe that's what you turn the Wyatts into, is like a prepper type of community, and they start bringing people into their group.
You could have Zeb Coulter be their leader.
Right? You could do that. You know, whatever you want to do, and you can show off camera their little community or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And you have wrestlers that want to become part of their community or whatever.
And they're brainwashing.
And kind of like a brainwashing cult type thing, right? And and they kind of join up and become part of the Wyatt group.
Drinking the anti-WWE Kool-Aid.
Right. And then all of a sudden you get, you have this storyline where everybody's building, and then all of a sudden the new people want to go, you know, who's Sister Abigail? Who is the Sister Abigail character? And then all of a sudden you see the one house or whatever it is that, you know, nobody ever goes to except for Wyatt, Bray Wyatt, right?
Right.
And you see that figure behind the curtain or whatever.
Like a rocking chair, like Psycho. Or
right, kind of like Psycho or whatever. Well, if you want to do that or not, whatever you want to do it. But you have that, and all of a sudden, you bring out the whoever you want that Sister Abigail character to be. Maybe it's your King Kong girl or whatever you want to have. You know?
that would be some interesting interracial breeding, though.
Right, but you know what I'm saying. You have this character that you've been building up, and people want to know who she is and everything else, and you make her, if it's one of your next generation wrestlers, your NXT wrestlers, or you make her some unknown person, or you do something really odd, and you make her Stephanie McMahon, and McMahon has been behind the whole thing, creating an anti-WWE against her dad.
It's me, Austin!
That's interesting. You know what I would like to see with that Sister Abigail, though? You almost do like a Sting kind of intro with her. You only see, she doesn't talk. And you only see her in the shadows and in the background and like, you know, quick glimpses. Kind of like their thing, you know, they do, you know, when they come in and out.
Oh, I agree. Like, she doesn't have to wrestle.
Yeah.
I've been calling that the dope thing.
Yeah, but instead, you know, you make her like the zombie in the background.
You can make her essentially the female version of Palpatine.
Yeah, you could. You could.
Like, she doesn't even have to wrestle. Even if she does talk, she talks to Bray Wyatt.
Hey, only Bray can hear her. Well,
not only that, but she's like, she could be the manager. You know, she could be the pallbearer. She could be, you know, I mean, she could also be the one that lays waste to the Divas division.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, she could either do that, or she could be, like I said, that's why I was thinking Stephanie McMahon. Because she could be pulling the strings
She'd be both. She'd be Stephanie and Sister Abigail.
Yeah, like it could be like her, not really her double personality, but it could
be. So are you saying like, what was it, Friday the 13th Part 2, where they put on Jason's mother's sweater to control him?
Yeah. Well, I just, that was just one of my ideas, because I think that if you're going to try to make the Wyatts any type of interesting, it can't just be the ones we currently have.
No, so, not this version.
They need to grow the group. Yeah. So it becomes something that the WWE has to take notice of. Because right now, they don't take notice of them.
Well, man, I don't even think it's a matter of growing them as it is letting them have their own individual threat. Because what made The Undertaker the face of fear was because you only feared The Undertaker and not, like, all the people behind him. You feared him because one person could do that much damage. Yeah, you can have the numbers game. You can have the four-on-one. I mean, you can have your brony stomp in the corner of the ring. I mean, yeah, it's a numbers game. Big deal. You have one person, however, that is more of a threat. That's why I think if you had a Luke Harper-Bray Wyatt rivalry, because I hate to say it, Luke Harper could easily take Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I mean, as far as wrestling, I'd like to see his mic skills a little bit more. So far, we've seen a little bit, but not as much as I'd like.
Right. So if you break them apart, yeah, they can definitely do something not together.
But yeah, but first you got to build them up first, and then you might be able to break them into two, or if they become popular enough anyway.
They did with the Shield.
Yeah, yeah, or, you know, or even the NWO, you had the black and white, and then you had the red and black. You had the Wolfpack. So, but again, you have to build them up first. So, but I like your idea, though, Inkbauer. That's a good idea.
Well, I mean, maybe that's what you do, is you build the Wyatts up to the point where they're this huge faction, and then all of a sudden you have Luke or Strowman disagree with Bray Wyatt,
yeah,
and he takes half of them with him, and the other half goes with Bray Wyatt, and then you have your two
family,
factions. Yeah,
you got a family feud. Yeah,
exactly.
Going on. You have the. Okay, well, these were all really great ideas, guys, and I think hopefully they'll pay attention to us, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if
and
not,
pay
it. Yeah,
at least pay us.
Yeah, pay us. I would like to be paid.
That would be great.
If anybody out there who's listening to the podcast has any ideas, we'd love to hear them too.
Yep.
Because I'd like to, you know, I always like to hear fresh ideas. So if you guys have ideas for how the WWE to become relevant again, please send them to us. We'd love to hear them.
Absolutely. So we'll just go around the table and we'll do final thoughts. All right, Johnny, I'll let you go first tonight.
I'll just stick to what I think needs to happen. The Authority needs to have a split in their division. We can't get rid of John Cena or the Wyatts, so give John Cena the heel turn when we have the division of the Authority. And hell, even if you want, give the Wyatts a chance to challenge the Authority or have them individually break apart. I mean, that's actually what would make each of the members of the Wyatt family interesting, is if you had one person not in a tag team, just on a one-on-one match, and have showcase their moves, showcase their talent, showcase what they can do on their own. And again, as far as the women's division, they need to lift that ban that says women cannot do certain moves, and have actual competition. Have a, you know, have someone out of their weight class that's like an actual threat. You know, we've seen a lot of good Japanese women's wrestling matches that are, you know, they take risks, they're incredibly athletic, they're very dangerous. I mean, the women there have, like, barbed wire death matches, and it's insane to watch. I mean, not saying we need that, but if we're going to bring back the Attitude Era, I'm fairly sure you have women like Paige and Sasha Banks that would not be opposed to it, that would say, hell yeah, I'm going to do this at least once in my career.
Exactly. And that brings me to my final thought, which is bring back the Attitude Era, whether it's on the network show, bring Bischoff back, like Inkbauer was talking about, to run it even. I would be perfectly fine with that. I have absolutely all the faith in the world in Eric Bischoff running a Attitude Era show, whether it's purely network or on air, preferably on the network, because I think they could do more with it. If you're going to do this Cena turn, do it right, take your time. I don't think you have to do it right now, but if they do it, I want it to be a year, at least a year-long theme, progressing and building. So yeah, these ideas, along with the rest of them, can definitely help the WWE get a hell of a lot better. It's just horrible right now. Brian, what's your final thought?
So my final thought is this. I think that they need to get a group together of writers from all different facets. You need to get some of your WWE writers together. You get some of the writers from Hollywood, from the movies. And you get some writers from TV shows. And you get Eric Bischoff. And you get Vince McMahon. And you put them all in a room.
And watch them all argue.
Exactly. But you come up with ideas. And, you know, and you're like, okay, we like this idea, we like this idea. Here's all the stuff. You put all your ideas on the whiteboard. And then as you're going through the year, you're like, okay, this is the progression we're going to use right now. If somebody gets hurt, you're like, you go to your whiteboard and you say, here's the next one on the list, next item up. And, you know, you run with it that way and you come up with the best product. This having one person in control, that much control, like we talked about earlier with Vince McMahon, mm-hmm. being able to override override Triple H and the writing team, I don't like it. I don't like having one person with that much power, because then it turns into, yes, it's their product, but their product may not be what the whole WWE universe wants to see.
Yeah, and have a storyboard. Look at what the MCU is doing, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Look at what Star Wars is doing.
And that's what I'm saying. You know, they made Star Wars made over $1 billion already.
Mm-hmm.
It has not even been out a month.
Exactly.
You know,
12 days, and it's the fifth highest grossing film domestically of all time.
Yeah, that's just retarded. And then you know why? It's because they had good writers that sat down and thought everything out before they started messing with crap. And that's what needs to happen with WWE. They need to sit down and they need to say, okay, we realize where we're going right now is not working. Mm-hmm. Keep going with that for now. Here's what we're going to start working on. Yeah. And we're going to work into this. And once we get into it,
we stick with it.
We're going to stick with it. It's going to be amazing. And, you know, this is what's going to happen. And, hell, we may see the NWO again, a new version of the NWO. And we may say that it's Kevin Nash's kid and Scott Hall's kid and somebody else, you know, and we make them the next generation NWO.
Yeah.
And they're just as badass as their aunt and uncles were, kind of like what we're seeing. And at the same time as creating something new, mm-hmm. you're also paying homage to what happened before that was great.
Yep, just like Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you bring back Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, and you pay them the money they deserve, and you let them build. And their job is to build the new generation, or the new storyline, whatever it might be. Yeah, I kind of like that idea. So,
to be fair, like the writers that were on Star Wars, what they did is you had a hybrid of the old and the new.
Yeah.
So we need that.
And they paid homage, you know, or tribute to the original, right? So mm-hmm. I think that same formula applies to any genre, including wrestling. So, all right, guys. Well, I think we covered it pretty well. We've actually gone an hour just talking about how to fix the WWE, and we're just three guys sitting around the table.
And we actually have a ton more stuff to bring up.
Yeah, we could keep
probably scratching the surface.
We could probably make it our longest podcast ever if we really wanted it to, but we'll stop here for now. Maybe we'll do a part two somewhere down the road. Okay, so with that in mind, how can you get in contact with us? Because Brian was telling you, we want you to reach out and tell us what you think. How can you find us? You can find us at facebook.com/4MidwestGuys. You can reach us via Twitter @4MidwestGuys. And you can reach out to us via email, number4midwestguys@gmail.com. And I know Brian, as well as John, would love, as well as myself, all of us here, and Bertie would love to hear from you. Please reach out to us. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. We're trying different things. These what-if shows are pretty much an experiment, really. And, you know, we're adapting it to the WWE this time, so we're constantly trying new stuff. So let us know what you think. We really want to hear from you, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, email, doesn't matter. There's ways to get in contact. So tell us what you think. How would you fix the WWE?
Yeah, and if you have ideas for shows for us, if you want us to start covering, doing recap shows for Raws or SmackDowns or, you know, whatever. We already do the pay-per-views.
That's right.
Or if you have other things you would like us to talk about that has to pertain to WWE or any other sports entertainment, let us know.
Yeah.
Or if you want to donate to our show, we will gladly do a show based on what you recommend.
Exactly. I'm for hire. But anyway.
WWE Creative Team, we're available.
We're available
anytime. So yeah, reach out to us. Let us know what you're thinking. Please. We would love to hear from you. All right. So I'd just like to thank Mr. The Dirty Jay-Z for joining us today. Johnny?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Ankenbauer, thanks for joining us as always.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man.
Copy that. And for myself, B. Willie, saying, what you gonna do, brother, when four Midwest guys unloads on you?